Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the Riptide. Visit them online at BlickmanEngineering.com.
Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at BlickmanEngineering.com.
Brewers, it's time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, greetings.
And we've got the Tasticles in,
hello, everybody.
In the house here as well.
Ah, hey, Tasty.
Hey, John.
Yeah. The Tasticles, the Greek god of homebrewing. I don't know if you knew that.
Man. Indeed, indeed.
Our testicles.
Tasticles is the Greek god of pornography. I don't know, for our fertility, one or the other, I don't know. Do you know which, Biba?
A fruitful internet search.
She used to know. But
yeah, she's not admitting to knowing. But, yeah.
Nothing.
No? You don't have, like, a little statue or something that you pray to for fertility? Or for Sam to grow some testicles?
I pray to it for infertility.
Fertility.
Not have any more babies.
Please, no.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then what you do is you bury one in the backyard. And you try and sell your house or something. I don't know. It's one of those things.
Okay. Oh, but only on the full moon.
Only on the full moon. Exactly.
That's the show.
There we go. Right. We're here talking Greek gods in history. The unknown Greek gods in history.
I'll do Greek gods for 400.
Right. The Greek god of... Of brewing equipment is?
Who is John Blickman?
There you go. That's right. Very good. Answered in the form of a question. Very good. Blickman Engineering, they are the fine sponsors of this show. They've taken good care of us over the years, so we keep coming in and doing the show, and that's why you get the show for free, all because of Blickman Engineering. They also make all sorts of really fascinating and interesting devices and equipment to improve your brew day or innovate your brew day and make your brewing easier and more consistent.
And fun.
And fun. Right. When you have the cool, shiny gear, it is a lot more fun than struggling with the buckets and such. It really makes you feel a lot more like you're...
Powerful. You're in control.
You're a commercial brewer.
You're doing it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's well worth it. And you can check out all their fine gear at BlickmanEngineering.com. And you can send an email to feedback@BlickmanEngineering.com if you want to tell Mr. John Blickman how much you appreciate that he pays for the show so you don't have to. And he does read every one of those emails. So there's your access to the Greek god himself of homebrewing equipment. Speaking of which, do we have the Greek god of homebrewing equipment on?
Did he figure out how to answer his Skype? You there, Blickman? No, apparently
he
not.
Had to reboot his computer.
Oh, he did? Okay, I'll call him right back right now.
Even the Greek god of brewing equipment gets very
struggles bright. With IT.
Exactly. Who is the Greek god of IT?
Hadn't been around long enough, I don't think.
I think he's dead.
He's dead.
Not defined.
Not to, undefined. We're getting a 404, domain unknown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last two shows, we talked about measuring
temperature and volume.
And volume and how critical they were to brewing. And some of the key tricks and how to calibrate and all this stuff, all the tools you could use and some of the tricks to to improve your precision if you were not using high-end NASA type equipment. You could still improve your precision. So we talked about that, and we wanted to continue with that. We wanted to talk about still weights. We wanted how to weigh properly and accurately. pH, pressure, dissolved oxygen, specific gravity, and I know it may sound strange, but maybe a little bit about length. You know, length, girth, when you're measuring things like an O-ring to replace your O-rings, you know, there's a few tricks there. So that's one of the things I thought we would consider in the Lister show. So we want to be thorough.
Yeah, yeah. Don't want a gasket to fail on you.
Right, right. Yeah, Blickman has to download and install Skype again. So,
oh, okay.
You might just try him on the phone. I don't know.
Doesn't really sound like a. What did you say? The god of IT.
Well, he's not the god of IT.
Clearly not.
He's the god of brewing equipment.
Oh, I see.
So
stick to kettles, Blickman. So you want me to call? Well, we can't call him, right, Beav?
We can call his cell phone from Skype.
Oh, I see. Okay. Give me his number, and I'll call him.
523.
Well, he's got an extension, unfortunately. Well, or you can look at the cell number is the one
that
he's texted me to. All right. All right. So let's start off with weight. John, how about tell us about weight? I mean, what's
I'm still around 250. I need to drop a good 70 pounds to get back to the college weight. Yeah.
There you go.
So thanks for bringing that up. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't meaning your weight, but, you hear people talk about like mass and weight. And, what's the difference between mass and weight?
I've forgotten. Mass. That intends to mean the actual quantity.
People call me a fat mass. Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah. No, you're thinking of a fat load. Mass is like the quantity of material that's there, irrespective of gravity. Weight is intended to incorporate gravity or acceleration, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mass doesn't change, weight does. Mm-hmm. I think is the way the definitions work.
So if I was weighing grain out, I'd want to do it by weight, not by mass. Like a bucket of grain wouldn't be a good measurement for grain. It'd be the preferred measurement would be the weight of the grain, right?
Weight of the grain, yes. Yeah.
And the weight's going to change based on gravity. So if you're weighing on the moon,
or humidity,
weight is not. Good point. Humidity does affect the weight of grain considerably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so we're concerned about grain weights. Mass, I guess, is the more pure definition. You know, 10 kilograms of weight is, mm-hmm. what we're shooting for.
Okay.
I think it's safe to say they're used interchangeably in brewing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do we have the Greek god of brewing equipment on the line?
Fell through the roof.
Intense, right? Yeah, he fell four stories to a phone, and here he is.
There he is.
There you go. Finally, I had to get Skype. Has never been pleasant to me.
Right,
but I got it reloaded and it's working fine now.
Oh, good. Hey, Blickman, kill your video, will you? It'll help with the bandwidth.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we don't need to see that stuff.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, we've seen enough already. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I'm trying to find the video kill button.
I think it's on the bottom. There's like the hang up mic button. It's like three buttons on the bottom should be there. If not, no big deal. We can
so randomly hit one of those buttons.
And there we go. Okay, perfect.
If you still...
Yeah, just start pressing buttons.
I randomly press buttons.
There you go. So we were just talking about mass versus weight. And
yes.
And there you go.
Summarize with, I think they're used interchangeably in brewing. What do you think, John?
I think that's pretty typical. In fact, I think unless you're a physicist, people don't pay attention to the difference.
There you go. Now, why is measuring weight accurately important in brewing? Tasty?
Oh, well, if you're going to make the same thing twice, you got to start with the same ingredients. So
right.
You should measure those out.
Mm-hmm.
It's important, just knowing what you've got and what you're starting with.
Right.
Where you're trying to be.
Yeah. Even things like you may think, oh, well, it's not that important. Maybe in grain, 10 pounds or 10 pounds, 1 ounce or 10 pounds, 2 ounces, not a big deal. In bottling sugar, small difference can make a huge difference in the carbonation level of your batch of bottles, right?
That's right.
So there's times when you need a lot more precision. And there's times when you need, just general accuracy and repeatability more than true accuracy in weighing out the grain. As long as you're weighing the grain the same way each time and you're getting, a known amount that you can consistently repeat, then you're probably fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I imagine, it'd be possible to take a plastic bucket and consider, a filled plastic bucket as your measure, right?
You could calibrate to that, sure.
Right, and make up, that would always be your amount of grist, and you could use a portion of black malt, a portion of crystal, and just, at the end, it got filled to the top with base grain, and there you go.
You can do it the same way every time. That's right. As good as gold. You can just say a bucket and a half of base and a half a bucket of black patent, and away you go.
There you are. You've got a consistent measure. So, throughout these shows, we're talking about consistency and improving your brewing because you're able to repeat what you're doing. Anything
and
else?
For homebrewers, though, those specialty malts can make, particularly like the really dark malts, can make a big difference. And the base mm-hmm. malt, you can be off a little bit, and you're it'll come out in the wash at the end in the noise.
Mm-hmm.
But those specialty malts, you do want to measure those pretty accurately,
like black patent,
right?
Anything with intense mm-hmm. color,
5% difference flavor. Makes a huge difference. Yeah, I've noticed in like with dark malts especially, mm-hmm. that's not necessarily a linear relationship. It wouldn't be twice as dark if I used twice as much. It's not necessarily linear. There's an interaction mm-hmm. within itself.
Right, because there's a certain amount of darkness you get just from the base grains, mm-hmm. and then you get that initial darkness, and then to get a more intense darkness takes considerably more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a consistent process for us to match that.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about weights and how you get precise measures right after this.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood,
made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Brand, SantaClean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five Star treatment today.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right, we're back. And I want to tell you about White Labs. You want to get more in-depth knowledge of yeast? If so, White Labs' March 13th and 14th Yeast Essentials Class 2.0 in San Diego, California. This two-day workshop will explore fermentation control points, tips for maintaining optimal yeast performance, and how to develop desired yeast flavor compounds. Attendees will learn methods for off-flavor detection and sensory evaluation techniques of different strains, as well as how to properly troubleshoot different fermentation problems. Can't make it to San Diego? No problem. They're also offering a live webcast. Register by February 14th to take advantage of early bird pricing. Learn more about the event by visiting whitelabs.com/education. All right. Yeah. You know, fermentation, most important part of brewing. So
absolutely.
Here's your chance to get pro-level knowledge from the White Labs folks. All right. We're talking about measuring weight and how important that is to brewing. Blickman, what are some of the devices that you can use to measure weight?
Well, I started with one of those really old school, you know, spring type dial scales, and you know, those things work great for the smaller quantities, you know, ounces and you know, down to maybe half ounce. But you get into a little bit of a problem when you're trying to measure grain and you don't want to measure it out like 1 pound at a time. So now, you know, they have just a really nice scales that, you know, you can go up to 50 pounds with them and you know, 1/100th of a pound kind of precision. And then, you know, for the smaller stuff, you know, things down to a 10th of a gram. And they're pretty reasonably priced these days. And I actually use two different scales. I use a small precision scale that goes
for
up
your weed.
To about a kilogram or two, maybe. About a kilogram.
Oh, that's a lot of weed.
Is that a lid?
And then, what's that?
Is it a lid? A kilogram is a lid?
I'm not sure.
Sorry.
But so that one I use for measuring water salts. I use it for measuring hops, you know, and then the most of the specialty grains, because I want to get those a little bit more accurate. And, you know, anything, you know, a couple pounds or less. And then I've got a larger scale with a remote display on it that's kind of nice. So I set my bucket on there, tear it out. And then, you know, so it reads zero. And I can get the full, you know, 5 or 10 gallon batch quite easily into one bucket and just, you know, measure that base malt very accurately.
Right.
And so I also use that. I use that same scale to check volumes on, like, you know, fermenting buckets and different things like that.
Right. So all those are load cell based. So there's a whole piece in there that, like when we're talking about measuring temperature or whatever, all these work off of electrical resistance through wires. So in the load cell, the flexing of the cell causes the reading to change, and they can be from the real lightest to some of the real heaviest. They weigh, you know, train cars on load cells. Big silos full of malt in breweries a lot of times are weighed by load cells. And like you're saying, They can be had fairly cheaply off of something like eBay. But what about, you talked about the spring scale. Those are the tasty. When you started, you probably started with a little spring scale. And
yes, I believe I did, yes. A little weigh the baby kind of scale.
Right. Like,
yeah. 7 pounds or less kind of thing, yeah. It bounced around quite a bit, but I trusted it.
Right.
It was the least of my problems is whether I was half pound off or not.
Yeah, something like that for measuring grain, it's absolutely fine. When you're trying to do the finer measurements, like we're talked about, the bottling sugar or something like that, that can be a problem. Old-time lab-based was balances. Palmer, I'm sure you used a balance in some of your classes and probably afterwards, yeah?
Oh, yeah. And I even had one myself for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's very useful for, micrograms and hundreds of grams.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to be that accurate with your hops.
Right.
So I just use a typical gram scale, the load cell type.
Mm-hmm.
And, it really is nice how technology has progressed. I mean, I remember, Jamil, when we were first doing Brew Strong, we would talk about postal scales and, cocaine scales and so on, trying to get some accuracy. And now,
if you have a scale good enough for measuring cocaine, it's probably good enough for measuring hops. Yeah. I remember saying that.
Now they're readily available, so pretty sweet.
It's been immortalized. It still plays in the session opening.
Back in the good old days. There's the balance, lab balance. You'll see them enclosed on all sides in glass, and that's in order for stray breezes not to affect the measurement. I mean, you can open up one of the sides, you can blow on it, and you'll see the weight change. It's mm-hmm. that sensitive. So they tend to be highly accurate, quite expensive, and but very useful when you want to measure out something with very high precision, small amounts with high precision. When we're doing something like a zinc addition, it's 4 grams for a 30 barrel batch. So, as a home brewer, you could invest in one of these balances. Maybe you can find one at a lab auction or something like that. But an easier way is to just, and I think we mentioned this before, an easier way is to measure a larger volume, a larger amount, instead of you could weigh out 10 grams, which you can do on a smaller scale, dissolve it in a liter of water, and then if you want a gram, you do 100 mils, or if you want a fraction of that, then you can measure fractions of grams. That works on things that will dissolve in water, but if you're trying to measure something like I guess hop extracts, you could maybe dissolve that in alcohol. But there might be other things that you can't.
But your common minerals that you use in brewing, a lot of times those are.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point. I think almost anything that you're going to use in brewing, and that's another good example, Tasty. The mineral amounts are often very small.
Yeah.
And, if you want to have precision in that, the more precise you can be on your water, the better. It's not absolutely critical what it is, but once you've settled on a water, it's critical to repeat that every time. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense? Your initial measure is not that critical, but you just need to be able to repeat that measure every time.
In terms of making the same beer over and over again. Now, if you want to pass that recipe on to somebody else or go take your equipment and go brew someplace else, the accuracy of your equipment is going to be more of an effect.
And then there's those old-timey balances, the three little sliding weights on the bars.
Yep.
I still have one of those or two of those. Quite handy, quite accurate. And you can get them pretty cheap now, I think.
Hmm.
Either you guys use those still or have one of those in your garage?
No,
I don't
mean...
Yeah, I don't use them any longer. But, you know, the nice thing about those is you really – they really never go out of calibration or anything else. You probably find them on eBay for pretty inexpensively.
Right, yeah, and you can calibrate them. They have a little nut and screw on the far end, and what you do is just – slide your weights to the zero mark and then turn the dial until it reads zero exactly or until it's balanced exactly. And that's it. It's calibrated. Mm-hmm. It's done. And so they're real durable and real nice for weighing out, you know, these materials. Also, I'd add if you're weighing on a balance or on a, you know, one of these lab balance or a three bar, triple bar balance or whatever they call them, or anything else, weigh boats are kind of nice, especially for the smaller.
Oh yeah, for hops and stuff.
Hops and for
they minerals.
You buy them off Amazon, eBay. Just there's like a little. They have plastic ones. They have paper ones. They're just little dishes that don't weigh much, and they come in different sizes and they're real handy. That you don't get your material.
Well, if you go to Smart and Final, you can find equivalent things for, you know, hors d'oeuvres or salsa containers and stuff.
There you go.
I mean, I get lots of stuff from Smart and Final that right. way. I mean,
all right. So a balance would be used for weighing out minerals, weighing out you know, maybe yeast additives, bottling sugars, priming sugars, things like that. Yeah, and hops up to hops.
Yeah.
Okay. Spring scale. There your accuracy is a little less given because it's attention to the spring and that thing that, you know, it's not going to be accurate all the way across its range. It's going to be less accurate as it gets to one end or the other versus, you know, a lot of times it depends on the marks and how well they were put on the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like, you know, when we're talking about volumes of graduated cylinders and such. And then, let's see, calibration on those. A lot of times they have a calibrating nut as well, which changes the tension on the spring. And so that's pretty good for weighing out, you know, grains in certain amounts. In the smaller amounts... you know, again, I think you know, there's more precise things, but you can get spring scales really cheap. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sometimes you get it for a buck or two. So that's a possibility. One thing we didn't talk about is pneumatic or hydraulic weighing. No? Anybody? Bueller?
I just equate that to load cell, except it's...
Right. So what they do is essentially you have a fine pressure gauge. We'll talk about pressures later. And then the amount of weight, there's like a bar that, you know, presses on or pulls on, and the weight causes the pressure to change, and the change in pressure is translated to a certain amount of weight. So it tends to be used for massively heavy things, I think. Sometimes things with certain precision. I know one of the ways that you calibrate your pressure gauges is by a known weight. And that it can be – that's kind of an old-timey way of calibrating pressure gauges. I guess it's still used to this day. So nobody using pneumatic or hydraulic weighing?
Nope.
Not in your home brewing?
I skipped all that, I guess.
I tell you, you and I both know that somewhere out there is a home brewer using, like, hydraulic weighing of their grain.
Sure.
You know, with some robot, you know, transferring the grain a piece at a time, something ridiculously cool. All right, and then load cells. We're talking about load cells. Accuracy. So much of it depends on how well the piece was made, and you know that, you know, the more precise the machining, the more consistent the material that the cell is located in, the, you know, construction of the cell. and your wiring from the load cell to your indicator is critical. So too much resistance, kinked wires, bad connections, corroded connections, all these will affect the accuracy of your load cells. So it's not just one thing. It's the whole package. Now, when you buy one of these little scales, it's all built in there. And there's really nothing for you to do but, you know, keep it clean and dry. When you have, for example, at Heretic, we have a grist case on load cells. And the load cells I bought off of eBay, and then they go to a summing box. So you weigh – ideally, you want to weigh – when you're for commercial brewery, if you're setting up a grist case or something like that, you want to set it up on three legs. You don't want four legs. You want three. The reason being, three balances itself out. Four can become unbalanced. So three is actually more accurate than four load cells. Mm-hmm. But if you do four load cells, the trick is to put a level across all the directions. And level from side to side, you know, back to front, and make sure that the whole thing is perfectly level. You back off of all your load cells, all the pressure on them, and then you get that, and then you start adjusting your load cell feet until the whole thing's perfectly level. And then once it's perfectly level, your weights should be fairly accurate, because you want the same weight pressing on every foot, every load cell foot. So in order to read four load cells, you send those four signals to what's called a summing box. And then that summing box, you send the signal out of there to a indicator. An indicator is something that will display it'll send a signal to the load cells, and it'll read back the resistance it's getting, the voltage it's getting, I'm not sure which. And then from that, it'll convert it into a weight. So depending on the indicator, it can do different things. It can, adjust the accuracy. You can have an offset in there, or, you can have indicators that read each foot independently and then sum it for you there at the indicator. But that's pretty much in a nutshell what you need is, and it's fairly simple. So you look on eBay for used indicators, you get brand new load cells. Load cells come in ranges, from very tiny weights to very large weights. And you want to get one that is the weight range that you're going to use. So if you're weighing a grist case, maybe you want 0 to 2,000 pounds, or however much grist you're doing. If you're doing 500 pounds, get one that goes like 600. The smaller the range, the more accurate it's going to get. The larger the range, the less accuracy you're going to get. And what else? You guys got anything else to add for load cells?
You do bring up a good point about the indicator, and mm-hmm. It's important to get a quality indicator that's got the resolution to match your transducers, your load cells.
Right.
You can buy phenomenal load cells and put it on a crappy indicator, mm-hmm. and it's going to read all over the place.
Right. Because it's working very fine increments of electricity and the more precise, the better. And
well, here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you want to get a combination, load cell indicator or whatever, that you're reading generally in the middle, across the middle of the range, say 0 to 2,000, you're reading mainly 500 to 1,500, or do you want something that, covers your entire range? Say 0 to 1,000, and you're measuring across that range, both, at 10 and 900 pounds typically.
I think, with most of these things, the accuracy is fairly consistent across, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was less accurate at very low, in the 0 to 10, and in the, 900 to 1,000, than it was in the middle of the range. They have specs on all these load cells with graphs showing, you know, any error that you might see. And I think there's kind of a curve to it, you know, kind of like a bell curve. But yeah, I would try, let's say your max grist was, you know, 1,000 pounds, but, you know, hey, sometimes maybe, you know, you could, if you're going to do, you know, a big beer once a year, well, you could weigh it twice. You could weigh, you know, 750, 750, you know, and if your average grist was always 750 and you want to do a 1,500, you'd just do two batches of grist. I mean, same thing on sizing a grist case. I wouldn't make a grist case so big that, you know, it was half full most of the time. Instead of, you know, so I would think about doing that versus getting one that's 0 to 2,000. Yeah, I think you'll have more precision. And, you know, you're going to be off a pound, you know, here or there, but not a big deal when you're talking about 750 pounds.
Depends what percent of the total it is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. But these indicators, you know, I bought one off of eBay. I think I spent $250. I had to write the numbers on the keypad myself because they were all worn out on this used indicator, a GSE indicator. But, you know, we were able to set it up to run a bunch of relays and with programming so that you just punch in a number of pounds you want, hit start, and then it weighs out, you know, and mills that amount of grain for you. So, I mean, all that's fairly easy to do with load cells and indicators. And I know the companies that provide this for you, they want like 40 grand or something crazy, but you can do it yourself. And I think that's one area where brewers might look at saving some money by doing it themselves. Pretty simple. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up our talk about weight, and we will move on to our next topic, which is going to be pH? Pressure? I don't know. It starts with a P. We'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customerclub, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customerclub. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Check out their brand new patent-pending mash and boil 110-volt electric mashing and boiling unit. This compact all-stainless unit lets you mash, sparge, and boil just about anywhere that has a 110-volt plug. Double wall construction adds to efficiency and safety, and a precise thermostat keeps temperatures where you want them. Unlike insulated buckets and converted coolers, multiple temperature rest mashing is easy to do, all for under $300. They also feature the Mark II work pump, a magnetic drive high temperature pump that does the work of pumps that cost twice as much, as well as exclusive Brewer's Edge regulators and quality Keg King kegs and disconnects. Check them out today at williamsbrewing.com to brew their vast selection.
We'll be right back. back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. I want to tell you about GrogTang. They are your one-stop homebrew customization shop. They have it all, from reusable beer and wine labels to durable metal signs to high-quality coasters, and everything is customizable. So get creative over on GrogTang.com with one of our hundreds of templates, and we'll print it on high-quality materials and ship it out to you. It's easy. Check out GrogTang.com today and use the code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order. That's GrogTang.com. And I'll tell you, you know, you put a lot of effort into, you know, making the beer and making it perfectly. You know, don't put a crappy, disgusting piece of paper on there stuck on with milk. Yeah. You know,
you may, which, yeah, you're not impressing anybody at all with that.
Well, and then they think less of your beer.
Yeah, yeah, it makes
right.
a difference. Yeah.
You know, to display it nicely, and people will be like, oh, you aren't just some hack. You are very serious about this. Doesn't cost much, and it well, makes a difference.
Yeah, and good label system like that, you know, yeah. they're reusable, and so, you know,
right.
one of the options they have. Makes it easy to do, and it just looks so much better, and you don't lose track of what you've got.
Yeah, plus they have some templates to get you started yeah. to fill out that, you know, maybe other people that use GrogTang would know that you use those templates, but, you know, your neighborhood isn't going to know. They're going to be like, wow, look at this. Look at Bob's Brewing. All right, we're talking weights. Let's wrap up with some recommendations here.
Well, oh, no. I recommend the Anvil scales.
Okay. Yeah, the Anvil line has some scales in there that you guys have checked to make sure they're of the accuracy and the value of the scales, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, very accurate.
There you go. And what I would recommend people get a low range device, electronic scale. Mm-hmm. That'll do from tenths of grams up to a few grams at least. Or I mean a few ounces, maybe a pound, you know, half a kilo. And that'll cover most of your hop needs and your minerals and things like that. If you want, you know, I'd get one of those real low weight, low range ones, and keep it separate just for all your minerals and stuff. And then get another one, you know, since you all have tons of money to spend, I'd get another one that's a little higher range. That's in the from maybe a quarter ounce up to a couple pounds, and use that one for your hops. And then I'd get one that's, your hops and your specialty grains. And then I'd get one that does, in pounds up to
set a bucket on it.
25, 50 pounds for weighing water, weighing, grains, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things about weight. We talked about in measuring volumes, you can use weight to say how much water you have, and it's very accurate. Yeah. So if you get a scale that'll handle the weight, you know, if you're doing 10 gallons of water, that's 80 pounds. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to weigh out a 5-gallon bucket, well, you're talking about 40 pounds. So if you have a 50-pound scale range, then, you know, you're pretty good there. So I think that those are kind of the three scales that you need in a home brewery.
Yeah, you can blend a couple together, but you're going to be better off kind of adjusting right. each scale sort of this.
Well, because you put a heavy weight on a more delicate scale, sometimes you can bend things like the load cells a little bit past their tolerance. Mm-hmm.
Violate its linear nature. Yeah.
But yeah, the prices have come down so much on those digital scales, and the ranges, you know, are really, you know, that small range unit that measures to a tenth of a gram up to a pound or two is perfect for water salts and hops. It's amazing how linear they are these days. Mm-hmm. And then the larger one for measuring the grain, you've pretty well got it covered. And they are, you know, I think the smaller scales are in the $20 range, and the bigger ones are in the, you know, $60 range, something like that. And, you know, it's something you'll have for a long time, and they're just nice and repeatable and easy to use. And
right. Even the battery operated ones these days, they'll run for many years without replacing the batteries. You don't even need the, you know, the power cord thing anymore a lot of times.
That's right. Yeah, I've got several scales from work over the years that, you know, everything from counting scales that, you know, do hundreds of a gram on up to heavier stuff, 50 to 100 pounds. And as you say, they've become kind of obsolete compared to the battery ones. They work just as well mm-hmm. and much cheaper.
Yeah. All right. Well, and that's one of the things. Consistent voltage is important to being able to measure accurately as well, because it is based on having enough voltage, and they step it down, and if your supply voltage drops too much, your voltage coming back out is not accurate. So that is one important thing.
The scales all have like calibration loops, so that's why your scale right. always tells you when it needs a new battery. It'll tell you.
All right. Anything else to add about weighing before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. I'll take that as a no. pH. pH is another quite important thing that I think a lot of brewers skip because, I don't know, they define it too complex or
harder to
mystical.
Measure. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and even understanding the scale, tasty, you know, what am I looking at? I think a lot of people know 7, but do they realize what kind of factor they're dealing with?
Most don't. And I get most people don't even address pH. I mean, they may from a macro standpoint, they find out what the pH of their strike water is, and then, you know, the rest of it's, you know, pretty much based on like standard practices of like if you use a certain amount of grist, you're going to, you know, have a corresponding adjustment in pH. But a lot of people, or I'd say most people, don't get into measuring pH, at least on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first started getting into pH, I would measure it at every step. And then after a while, I realized like, oh, okay, this is the same way every time. If I, you know, generally use this sort of grist and I use this same water all the time, I'm going to usually get the same, pretty much the same result,
mm-hmm.
and every time I use that water in that certain way.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when I first started measuring pH, it was either you had solutions that you had to do drop by drop, and then match up a color, or it was, you know, lab type equipment with you know, a series bench thing. And then when the first handhelds came out, they were garbage. I mean, they really did not measure accurately, and they would only last for a few months before they just completely died. So I know those have improved, but that really put me off of the handhelds.
Yeah, these days the handhelds are quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I guess that's the nice thing about the march of technology in the last 10 years is that, you know, all these tools, you know, scales, pH meters, and water testing in general has really moved forward. So it's much more user-friendly, you know, auto-calibration. We just dip it in the solution, punch a button, and mm-hmm. calibrates itself. Yeah.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things about, you know, the accuracy of various pH reading techniques, the, you know, when you're talking about these handheld and, you know, desktop and or benchtop meters, one of the things people don't realize about electronics is the quality of the components that went into the electronics affect the overall accuracy and reliability and performance of that item. So the precision of the resistors used, the precision of the capacitors used, I mean, you know, the how all the traces were laid out on the board, the quality of the material used in, you know, etching these traces, all that stuff will affect the overall precision of the device. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that some of these things cost more than others. I mean, I would think the same thing on Blickman products, right?
That's right. Quality is remembered.
Right. Long after the...
Long after the price is forgotten.
The price is forgotten, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, components have become a lot more reliable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's become less expensive to make higher precision components. Mm-hmm. And that's really helped over the years.
Yeah, and prices really have dropped significantly on those. It used to be, you know, you'd have to spend a good $400 to get a decent pH meter. Mm-hmm. And now you can get them for, what, $100 for, for a decent one? I mean, they still have some, you know, $30 cheap ones. But, you know, then again, you know, it's, you know, a cheap tool is just frustrating to use. And if you're trying to measure something, you know, having a rubber ruler isn't extremely helpful.
Well, it depends on what you want to use the ruler for. Sometimes things have a curve to them and you need a rubber ruler. I'm just saying. Let's go through these kind of step by step. Measuring pH with liquids. So you've seen these, you know, kind of titrate kits where, like a pool, you're checking your chlorine in your pool or something like that. They have these for pH.
They do?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
They have for pH.
Oh, you're talking. You're just talking about the little handheld guys.
Liquid
test ORP kits. Electrodes.
Oh, these are titrate.
Where you drip the drip the solution in, tells you what the pH is, right?
Basically, they're built around the fact that you start out with a water of a certain color, and once it goes changes from that color to clear, that's a number. And you may have to do that, you know, two or three times, you know, based on different standard solutions give you a number.
Well, I'll say this. You know, something like that can be accurate when the solutions are fresh and when what you are measuring the pH of is clear, like water. Once you get into something like wort, that's where you start to struggle, especially like a darker wort. You're doing a stout. You want to check your mash pH. It becomes very difficult. So that's kind of the limitations of liquids. Also, the liquids, you know, the reagents you use, they start to degrade over time. You know, you have to throw them out probably every year or two. So while they may be cheap to start with, it's not necessarily the best way to go. But, you know, it's something that can be used. The test strips. Now, some of you guys hate the test strips. I had great luck with the German test strips. And I matched it up against my bench meter, and I could tell, you know, I could read even between the colors what the pH was. It's not quite this color. It's not quite that color. Okay, so instead of 5.2 or 5.4, it's 5.3. Sure enough, the bench would say 5.3. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, if you're dealing in tenths, I wasn't going to be able to say 5.35, but I could nail 5.3 or whatever.
Now, that seems accurate enough for most beer situations.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, better for water than it is for dark liquids, but even still, the color would come through.
That's where I really would get tripped up some, was when you're doing the darker beers. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, well, what's influencing what? As far as the color goes.
Right.
Yeah, that's my principal concern with the test strips is, you know, you do have to make decisions on exactly what that color is and, you know, interpretations, right. I guess.
Well, and some people have better ability to view colors and discern colors. Yeah. I mean, there's actually a gene that allows people to. And women tend to have it more than men, or only women have it, I think. It has to do with, like, when the, you know, the XY chromosome, you know, the Y is an X that lost one of its legs, essentially. And the gene that allows for this color detecting is in that lost leg, I think. And so men don't tend to have it, but I've seen examples of, you know, they'll show you like 40 reds, right? And you're just like, those all look the same to me. And there'll be a person that they can look at them and then they can put them in order of intensity of color. And it's super easy for them. And they all look identical to you. But to this person who has that extra gene in there, they can accurately discern all these different colors. That's why women tend to be much better. They say, oh, it's a survival thing for colors of berries or something stupid like that. But they don't really think that anymore, I think.
It's just so they can give us a hard time.
That's why we're more coordinated than you are.
It's like
color coordinated.
That's not white.
Yeah, that's why they're decorated.
That's ivory. That's snow. That's it's like the thousand versions of white. It's like Eskimos and snow. It's like women and decorating colors.
I love it.
But it's a fact. So on that sidebar, that's why maybe the strips are not for everybody, or the liquids when you're having to tell these colors. But cheap, quick, effective. You don't have to calibrate the strips. The German ones, you can cut them in half and you get twice as much for your money. Yeah. And, if you want to check your water real quick, I encourage people to at least give it a try versus not checking their pH at all.
Yeah, I think most people check their water pH. Of course, that wouldn't have any much bearing on the the dark beer, not dark beer situation. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the measurement most home brewers take the most is what's the pH of my water today when I start, mm-hmm. and then from there if you can just get that one number, I think the rest of the brewing can kind of take care of itself.
Well, I'm firmly of the opinion that water pH doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right.
But aside from that,
you may just be able to use a whole bookshelf full of determination of whether it changed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mash pH, certainly more important than what you start with.
Yeah.
But what you start with will affect.
No, that's the beginning.
Yeah. Affect everything.
No, if you have high alkaline water, it's going to affect mash pH for sure.
Right. So definitely related. All right. So then you can go to the handheld meters. There's the ones that are all built in one little stick, where the element, the probe is built into the end. And I find those pretty horrible. At least, maybe there's better ones. I haven't tried them recently, but they tend to, one problem is, the element, the sensor, shall we say,
the electrode,
thank you, the pH electrode, those need replacing over time. And if your electrode needs replacing, you have to throw away the whole unit.
Some are replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the higher end ones, there the electrodes are replaceable on those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the ones that come with the Lamont kits, if they have a replaceable electrode or not.
Yeah, the Brewlab ones, they do.
Yeah, and I've used an X-Tech for years, and they're replaceable as well. But if you get the cheaper ones, they're not. So they're not necessarily cheaper, because you've got to replace the whole thing then.
Right. Whereas if you get a handheld with an electrode on a cord...
Right.
You can replace
like
that.
Like Milwaukee's and stuff.
Right, right. And those tend to run about 100, 150, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're insured that you can replace your electrode and not have to replace the meter. And replacement electrodes tend to run from 35 to 70, depending on the electrode. There's different types of electrodes for different solutions. Because a lot of these handheld ones with non-replaceable electrodes, they come with something that's just generic for water, not really designed to handle the high-protein environment of wort. Some of them are more temperature-sensitive than others. They have a durability to them. Some will last a long time. Some, crap out pretty quick.
There are some wine and beer ones that are a more longer life because they're able to stand up to the environment better.
Right. And that brings you to like a bench meter. One of the reasons I think the bench meters tend to be more accurate is because there's more room to lay everything out. You don't have all your electronics crammed in a little box. Yeah, electronics have improved, but you know, noise issues, things like that, that can be real handy. And another nice thing about bench top is you can get one of those. Well, I guess you could use an electrode stand, even with a handheld, if the cord was long enough. I think they tend to be a little nicer if you got the room for them. pH maintenance and calibration. Tell you what, let me tell you. Before we take a break, I want to tell you this segment was brought to you by Brewers Publications, publisher of Brewing Elements series, a four-part set exploring the fundamental ingredients in beer, water, malt, hops, and yeast. Each book offers detailed scientific examination, practical instruction, and recipes for both home brewers and craft brewers. Find the Brewing Elements series at brewerspublications.com. All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about calibrating and cleaning and storing your pH probe right after this.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy.
Like the Lance Armstrong of the beer world. Except for that nut thing.
This is Brew Strong.
Longtime BN homie Michael Fairbrother wants you guys to check out MoonlightMeadery.com. Moonlight Meadery, mead for any occasion. Moonlight meads are the reference standards for mead categories in the BJCP style guidelines. And right now you can save 10% on two or more bottles using BN Army at MoonlightMeadery.com/shop. Wonderful, delicious, category-defining Moonlight mead. Check them out and let them know we sent you. Use code BN Army at checkout, MoonlightMeadery.com/shop. All right. One of the things I want to point out about pH is it's not just for wort and not just for water. It's actually a very important measurement in fermentation. So especially when we're doing bigger beers or any beers at the brewery, one of the measurements I want taken every day is pH. So we take specific gravity and we take pH. And one of the reasons you want to do that is because like specific gravity, pH will follow a specific curve during fermentation. And if you see variances in that in your brew, you know something's wrong. Like if you see the pH is dropping like it should, there's a problem. If the pH is dropping more rapidly than normal, there's a problem. If the pH starts rising all of a sudden, there's a problem. All these are potential indicators of a yeast problem or an infection or many other things. So in your brewery, you should be measuring the pH, especially, you know, beers that you're brewing commercially, every week or every couple of weeks, I'm brewing IPA. That IPA, important to check it. And hopefully it tells you everything's fine and you feel like it's a wasted measurement. But I'm telling you, there will come a time when all of a sudden something's wrong. And that's going to be your first year. It's just your canary in the coal mine. And you will see that before you taste it.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Well worth measuring pH in fermentation as well. All right, so talk to me, John, about Palmer, about calibrating your pH, your pH meter.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talk about this a lot in my water classes. And P- pH is the measurement of hydrogen ions in solution, their concentration, their activity. And a pH meter works, the electrode works, by measuring electrical potential across a small semipermeable membrane, generally. And when you're, what you're doing when you calibrate a pH meter is you're calibrating the voltage difference across that finite distance. Over time, as you use the meter, and especially in wort, you get these proteins, you get your ions, you know, your water ions, the calcium, magnesium, etc., that migrate into the semipermeable membrane, and that finite distance across that electrode decreases. So as you use the pH meter over time, it becomes harder and harder to calibrate because that distance is getting smaller. And that's when you need to eventually change the electrode, is when that, you know, electrode essentially gets contaminated like that. Fortunately today, you know, like we were saying, electrodes are replaceable. Calibration is much easier. You can buy pre-made solutions that are, you know, calibration solutions that are very accurate. pH 4, pH 7.
The little packets are quite nice. They have little foil packets, little 4, 7, 10. You only need 2 points. You need 7, and you can pick either 4 or 10 depending on what type of liquid you're measuring. If you tend to measure below 7 solutions, then you calibrate to 4 and 7. If you tend to measure higher pH solutions, then you pick the 7 to 10. And they have these little packets, and they stay sealed, so they're nice and fresh versus the bottles, which when you open them, expose them to air and over time and light and things like that, kind of wears them out.
Yeah. But they're pretty accurate. They're most accurate at room temperature. So what you're doing when you calibrate is you're calibrating that meter at room temperature. Now, today's pH meters have a function called ATC, automatic temperature compensation. The purpose of that is to keep the electrode in the pH meter calibrated at different temperatures than your calibration temperature. So you calibrate the meter, it's calibrated at room temperature, and now you measure a sample that's at, say, 100 degrees Fahrenheit instead of 70 degrees Fahrenheit. That ATC function keeps the meter calibrated at that different temperature. It doesn't do anything to compensate for the actual change of pH of your solution at 70 versus 100 versus, you know, whatever temperature it may be at. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when we talk about wort and beer pH measurement, we always encourage cooling the sample to near room temperature before measuring it.
Because
about
that
way you reduce that error.
There's about a 0.3 difference between mash temp and room temp on pH.
Right. As you go higher in temperature, you increase the chemical activity, dissociation, and that pH usually reads lower at higher temperature than it does at room.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, there some of the benchtop meters and some of the handheld meters actually have a jack for a thermometer probe, so that you can actually put a thermometer in your solution or, you know, a probe that'll read temperature.
That's part of that ATC function.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what about cleaning and storage? Then you get this proteinaceous buildup on your probe, and you want to clean that off, and then cleaning and storage.
Yeah, rinsing with distilled water is good after you've used the meter in wort to help you rinse off the protein. But you really don't want to store the probe in distilled water, I understand. I guess for whatever reason, it's a little bit harsh. Generally, they recommend storing it in the buffered solutions, either the 4 or 7.
Well, you can store it in the 7. They also have designed storage solutions available, which, a lot of times they'll say just store in 7. You can use the solutions. The important thing is not to let it dry out.
Yes.
Because, and you know, if you get, it's going to be a long time between you use it, and you have one of those things with a, like a cup on the end of a, and that dries out, you're going to ruin your probe. So you can rehydrate them. You can put them, you know, the solution back in there, and hopefully, you know, it can recover. But if you let that little element dry out, you're going to mess it up.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
And they have the other important thing is each manufacturer is going to recommend different things. Mm-hmm. And the important thing is to follow what their recommendations are for storage solutions.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because, you know, and it depends on mainly on the probe. And so if you replace your probe, whatever that manufacturer says for that probe, that's the way to go. And they have cleaning solutions that you can use as well. You know, any buildup on there, and it goes without saying, don't tap the electrode on something. Don't leave it out during the brew day. Always return it to storage solution. Don't leave it out sitting there on your brew bench for an entire brew day. You want to keep that thing wet, or put it back in one of the calibration solutions while you're not using it.
Don't bang it on the desk to clean it.
Right, right. Treat it like you would, you know, your favorite toy, I'll say. Put it that way. Oh, see, you knew what I was going to say, right? All right. Well, I think that's a good cover of both weight and pH measurements. Yep. Anything to add to that? Any recap before we go?
Oh. Hi.
Yeah,
I can't do anything. I mean, I will throw in the caveat that you can have the same water pH measurement for two completely different waters.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right,
always important to understand exactly what minerals are in your water and their concentrations besides mm-hmm. just pH.
Right. Sure. All right. Good show. Stay tuned if you're listening live, because we're going to have another show where we talk about dissolved oxygen, specific gravity, pressure, and maybe something about length. I think we can wrap up measurements in the next show, or maybe there's 10 more shows here. I don't know. But stay tuned if you're listening.
Well, I'll find out.
If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy getting this for free, you should check out our fine sponsors. Check out BlickmanEngineering.com. Check out all the cool things they have there. Check out White Labs. We've got Brewers Publications, Grog Tag, Moonlight Meadery. All those folks are helping pay for this show, so you don't have to. And the least you could do is check out what they offer. Check out their websites. And if you run into them, give them a thanks for supporting stuff like this, so you get a free education about all this brewing technology. Check out the Brewing Network store, brewingnetwork.com/store. All sorts of goodies in there. And when you buy those things, every dollar goes directly to the bottom line of the Brewing Network and helps keep all the shows on the air. So your support, greatly appreciated. Until then, everybody, brew strong.
Brew strong, everyone.